You are listening to the audio podcast of Gethsemane Baptist Church, located in Long Beach, California, pastored by Eli Reynolds.
In your Bible, Matthew chapter 17. I love singing that song. I love holding my Bible up. And some of you were like holding your cell phones up. This blessed old book that I hold in my hand. And that's great. iPads and things like that. And then, of course, I remember college days, when I was going to college, or even sometimes in other churches where people don't have a Bible, so they're just holding a song book up. This blessed old book. You know, it's okay, though. If you didn't have one, that's all right. Matthew chapter 17. And I want to preach a message, to be honest, out of a text I've never preached from. There's many of those in the Bible that I've never preached from, but surprisingly, I don't think I've ever preached a message from just using the text of what we would call the Mount of Transfiguration. And I want to preach a message this evening. We're going to look at the parallel passages as well. And the parallel passages are just the, you know, when you've got the Gospels, or just the passages in the other Gospels that talk about the same timetable, the same event, I should say. And we're going to look at Mark chapter 9 and Luke 9 in a minute, but we're in Matthew chapter 17, and I want to preach a message entitled, In the Presence of Christ. In the Presence of Christ. Look, if you would, at Matthew chapter 17, verse 1. And after 6 days, Jesus taketh Peter, James, and John, his brother, and bringeth them up into an high mountain apart, and was transfigured before them. That's where we get the term Mount of Transfiguration. And his face did shine as the sun, and his raiment was white as the light. And behold, there appeared unto them Moses and Elias, or Elijah, talking with them, with him, talking with Jesus. Then answered Peter and said unto Jesus, Lord, it is good for us to be here. If thou wilt, let us make here 3 tabernacles, one for thee, one for Moses, and one for Elias. And while he yet spake, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them. Behold, a voice out of the cloud, which said, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him. When the disciples heard it, they fell on their face and were sore afraid. And Jesus came and touched them and said, Arise and be not afraid. When they had lifted up their eyes, they saw no man save Jesus only. And as they came down from the mountain, Jesus charged them, saying, Tell the vision to no man until the Son of Man be risen again from the dead. Now, this passage, I want to show you the other passages with it. Because when you read the scripture, you'll read this passage and you'll see some things, but if you compare them to the other scriptures, you see a bigger picture, or a more complete picture of what happened. And so get in mind before we turn there that Jesus has just fed, a little bit ago in scripture, Jesus fed the 4,000. In Matthew chapter 16, we have Peter's great confession of, hey, whom say ye that I am? And he says, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And so the great confession of Peter there. Then Jesus mentions the first church, and he then goes to tell in chapter 16, verses 21 through 28 there, he begins to tell and foretell of his death and resurrection, and still the disciples are all, you know, they didn't get it, they didn't understand it, but all of this is going on, miracles are taking place, people are being saved. In the middle of all this, Jesus takes 3 people. He takes Peter, James, and John, and he goes up into this mountain apart to pray. And as we see this here, we're going to see that these men got to see some things that no one else did. And I would dare to say that they were changed by what they saw. It's interesting that Jesus told them as they were leaving the mountain, don't tell anybody what you saw until after I'm resurrected. And at that time, they didn't even understand what the resurrection was talking about. Later on, you see in the book of John that, oh, it clicked for them. Oh, that's what he was talking about. But I want you to see here, we just read a passage, and we saw a little bit of what it said. Hold your place. We're going to come back to this and look at Mark chapter 9. Mark chapter number 9 in your Bible. I want to read the parallel account of this, and we'll see just a couple things different there, or added to, I should say. Mark chapter 9, verses 2 through 9. Mark chapter 9, verses 2 through 9. After 6 days, it says in verse 2, Jesus taken with him Peter and James and John, and leadeth them up into an high mountain apart by themselves, and he was transfigured before them. Now, when we're talking about transfigured, what does that mean? It's actually kind of the word, it has to deal with the word metamorphosis, but it's talking about a changed appearance. He changed his appearance. He was transformed. Well, into what? Into his glory. Remember, he was robed in flesh as he came to this earth, but he allowed them to see a bit more of his glory that was with him in heaven. Verse 3, and his raiment became shining, exceeding white as snow, so as no fuller on earth can white them. And there appeared unto them Elias with Moses, and they were talking with Jesus. And Peter answered, said to Jesus, Master, it's good for us to be here. Let us make 3 tabernacles, one for thee, one for Moses, one for Elias. I love this added commentary. For he wist not what to say, for they were sore afraid. And there was a cloud that overshadowed them, and a voice came out of the cloud saying, this is my beloved son, hear him. And suddenly, when they had looked around about, they saw no man anymore save Jesus only with themselves. And as they came down from the mountain, he charged them that they should tell no man what things they had seen till the Son of Man were risen from the dead. Now, so just a couple small changes. I want you to go to one more place. Go to Luke chapter 9. Luke chapter 9, and we'll read this last parallel passage here. And then I want to give you, excuse me, if my voice will hold up, I want to give you some insights and some principles about that phrase, in the presence of Christ. Luke chapter number 9, and we'll be Bible students tonight. Just look at some passages here, and we'll turn to another passage at the very end of the message. But Luke chapter number 9, look at verse 27. Verse 28, I apologize. And it came to pass about an 8 days after these things. It had said 6 days and 6 days. He says about 8 days. He wasn't sure. After these sayings, he took Peter and John and James and went up into a mountain to pray. So that was the purpose. They were up there to pray. It doesn't tell us that in the previous passages. And as he prayed, so as Jesus is praying, this transformation is happening. Verse 29, as he prayed, the fashion of his countenance was altered. So his very face, the light is shining through, as it said in the previous verses, and his raiment was white and glistening. And behold, there talked with him 2 men, which were Moses and Elias, who appeared in glory and spake of his decease, which he should accomplish at Jerusalem. So it tells us here what Moses and Elias were doing there. They were coming to talk to Jesus about his crucifixion. And Peter, James, and John were just supposed to be there. And then it says in verse 32, but Peter and they that were with him were heavy with sleep. We didn't see that in the previous passages. And when they were awake, they saw his glory. They saw the glory of Jesus Christ and the 2 men that stood with him. And it came to pass as they departed from him, Peter said to Jesus, Master, it's good for us to be here. Let us make 3 tabernacles, one for thee, one for Moses, one for Elias, not knowing what he said. Isn't that true of Peter so often? While he thus spake, there came a cloud and overshadowed them, and they feared as they entered into the cloud. And there came a voice out of the cloud saying, this is my beloved son, hear him. When the voice was passed, Jesus was found alone. And they kept it close and told no man in those days any of those things which they had seen. So I want to show us tonight just a couple insights about this, about what these men got to see. These men got to be in the presence of Jesus Christ. And I know that they were with him every day, but this was a different thing. I want to show you why it was different and just some practical things that we can take, some insights about being in the presence of Christ. And I don't know that I've prayed. Let's do that. Father, can't pray enough. So if I have, Lord, I pray again that you'd bless the message and you bless our time together. And God, I ask that you'd speak to us tonight and really work in our lives about this thing of being in the presence of Jesus Christ. And may we have a greater hunger and thirst for that presence as we leave the auditorium tonight in just a little while. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. If I were going to give you some insights that I gleaned from, and I'm in Matthew chapter 17, if you want to know where I am. I'm in Matthew 17. And if we're going to talk about some insights about being with Jesus Christ and to just give you some practical things this evening and to remind you of truths that you probably already know, I want you to look at Matthew chapter 17, verse 1. And it says, after 6 days, Jesus taketh Peter and James and John, his brother, and bringeth them up into an high mountain apart. I want to talk about the presence of Christ, being in the presence of Christ. I want to give you a couple of thoughts. First of all, you need to go apart into his presence. You need to go apart into his presence. That's what it says there, that Jesus, he took these men apart. Now, what does that mean? That means it's just you and him. That means on the mountain where everybody else was gathered around the bottom of the mountain, and Jesus was going to go down and there was going to be conversations and teachings and all of these things were going to happen, he took the time to be alone with some people. And when it comes to being in the presence of Christ in our life, it needs to be just you and him. And look, I would encourage you to go every day. I would encourage you to go into the presence of Christ regularly throughout the day. I would encourage you to go into the presence of Christ when he calls you to go. I've heard people tell me, Pastor, God wakes me up in the middle of the night and tells me to pray. I've heard people, and I know people in this room say that, that God will just all of a sudden just impress upon their heart to pray over something. God will impress upon your heart a certain person or a certain situation. You'll be driving down the street, and you'll think, oh, somebody lives there, and God just gives you a heaviness and says, hey, pray for them. Or maybe God puts somebody on your heart where maybe it's just you, and maybe it's just something where God says, hey, come into my presence. And I would encourage you that every time that Jesus calls you into his presence, go. Go into his presence. And as we're seeing Peter, James, and John, I can't imagine any possibility where these men would say no. And Jesus says, hey, come up into the mountain to pray. And they, no, thank you. No, when he's calling you, go apart. Hey, look, when you're spending time with God, cut your cell phone off. Who do you need to contact that's more important than Jesus? Hey, cut the TV off. How can you read your Bible and spend time in the presence of God when you're distracted? Do what you have to do, but if you want to experience an unbelievable, life-changing event in the presence of God, you got to be alone. God calls us to be alone sometimes. And sometimes, hey, it's not the stuff that people see. It's not the times that people, you know, you're not supposed to fast publicly. You know, hey, everybody, I'm fasting. And, you know, give me, you know, clap for me. No, Jesus says when you fast, go into your closet. When you or do it secretly, when you pray, go into your closet and don't let people see it. What he's saying is, get alone with me. And if you'll get alone, you'll be blessed beyond what you can imagine. And I want to encourage you this week. If you really want to experience something and maybe your spiritual life is lacking and the love and the passion for God that you had is not there anymore, maybe you need to get rid of all the distractions and just let it be you and Jesus and get alone with him. Get alone with him. Go apart into his presence. Secondly, look at verse 1 again. It says that Jesus taketh Peter, James, and John. Well, I'm not great at math. I can do basic math and all that. Once you get like past algebra and into all the other things there, I don't care to know that kind of thing. I don't know that was my gifting in life. But anyway, more power to if you do, but I'm trying to remember how many disciples there were. And to see if there's 12 and three of them are with Jesus, 12 minus three, how many disciples? Where are the nine? Where are the other nine? And so Jesus here is selecting a group. He handpicked them. And what I want to say about this is this. Remember that it is an honor and privilege to be in his presence. It is an honor and a privilege to be in the presence of Jesus Christ. I mean, this was a select group because Jesus handpicked them. And I believe it's because we call them the inner circle, right? That they were closer to Christ Why? Because they wanted to be, I believe. And these were the guys that wanted it. They wanted a close relationship with Christ, and guess what? They got it. And so Jesus said, you three, come with me. And I believe it's because they wanted it. What a privilege. What a privilege. What an honor it is to be in the presence of Jesus Christ every single day. Remember the book of Isaiah, Isaiah chapter 6, when Isaiah looked and he saw God in the temple. And what happens when Isaiah saw the king? You know what he did? He fell on his face and said, woe is me, I'm a man of unclean lips. He said, hey, you know, when you get a vision of God, when you get a vision of Christ, when you truly see him, I'm not talking about, you know, some weird vision that you see because you drank something weird or ate something weird or whatever. I'm talking about an actual, just when you see Christ for who he is, falling on your face and worshiping him. That's what these men did. Ron Hamilton, we know him as Patch the Pirate, and he wrote a bunch of songs in our hymnals. He wrote a song called Bow the Knee, and he said, what a privilege, the first verse, what a privilege to come into God's presence. What a privilege. Just to linger with the one who set me free. As I lift my eyes and see his awesome glory, I remember who he is and bow the knee. When's the last time you bowed the knee to Jesus? When's the last time you literally got on your knees before the God of heaven and earth and bowed to him? I don't bow to any man, not on this earth. I wouldn't bow to our president. I wouldn't bow just because people in society came and put pressure on me to apologize for my heritage and to bow a knee. I think that's wrong. I think it's absolutely wrong. I'm not bowing to any king. I'm not bowing to any dictator. But I'll bow to the King of Kings. I'll absolutely do that. Why? Because he's worthy. He's worthy. Hey, look, I'm not worthy for you to bow to me. You're not worthy for me to bow to you. Only Jesus deserves that. The angels, when people bowed to them, they said, don't worship us. You reserve that for Jesus, for God. That's who the worship goes to. And it's a privilege to bow the knee. Look, the unsaved people don't have this privilege. We are a select group that gets to have the privilege of the presence of Christ, the presence of God. Although the unsaved don't have that privilege, sadly, many Christians do have the privilege, but they don't know what it's like because they don't get into the presence of Jesus Christ. And I want to encourage you, don't dismiss this. It is a privilege we do not deserve. It is a privilege that Old Testament saints did not have the same privileges that we have now to go into the presence of God and to the presence of Jesus Christ and speak with him and have him speak to us. That is a privilege, and it's an honor. I want to encourage you to run to it. We sing, what a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. I want to remind you today that it's an honor and privilege to be in the presence of Christ. We best not neglect it. I want to say thirdly, we're moving fast. There's hope for you that will be done early today, okay? Look at verses 3 through 5. I love this. I love this thought here. Verses 3 through 5 in Matthew 17. And behold, there appeared unto them Moses and Elijah. I'm going to say Elijah just because it helps us remember that he's talking about the Old Testament, Elijah. Talking with him. Then answered Peter and said unto Jesus, Lord, it is good for us to be here. I just like get this picture in my mind every time I read this. Here's Jesus praying. Now he's talking with Elijah and Moses, and they're talking with him about the cross, about the crucifixion, and we've got Peter, James, and John back here, and there's all this talking going on, and I just get the picture like this, and Peter's like, Lord, it's good for us. Just like interjecting himself. Like, was that what you're supposed to be doing right now, Peter? And he says, it's good for us to be, if thou wilt, let us make three tabernacles, one for thee and one for Moses and one for Elias. And while he yet spake, while he was speaking, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and a voice out of the cloud which said, this is my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased. Hear ye him. In other words, listen, Peter, you're talking, try to be listening. And I think one of the things about the presence of Christ that we overlooked is this point. You don't have to do all the talking in his presence. That's the third thought. You don't have to do all the talking. God said about Jesus, hear ye him. What's that mean? That intimates that Jesus wants to speak too. And he wants to talk to you during that intimate time when you were in his presence. Look at verse 4. I love this. Then answered Peter. Who was Peter answering? Nobody spoke to Peter. Nobody asked Peter a question. If you look at all the accounts that we just read, nobody's talking to Peter. There was no question asked. But what it's saying there in that passage is not that he answered a question that was asked to him. He was responding to the situation. He felt, all this is crazy stuff's going on. I feel like I should just speak up and say something. And some people do this, but it's funny to me, but he didn't need to do that. So what does he say? Does he say anything worth hearing? No, the other two pastors say he doesn't even know what he's talking about. And he's just speaking, and he's just talking, and he says, Lord, let's make some tabernacles. Let's make a tent here, and let's make a place here. This cloud's awful bright. Your raiment is shining. Let's make a tent here for Moses. And let's make a tent for Elijah. And let's make a tent for Jesus. What's he talking about? You know, and I get the what he's trying to do. I really feel like he had the right motives, but he's missing the moment. It wasn't time for Peter to talk. It was time for Peter to listen. You know, sometimes I am so guilty of this. All I'm doing in my Bible time is talking. Or all I'm doing in my prayer time is talking. And I'm looking through here and I'm thinking, okay, what's this passage talking about? I need to write. And I'm not taking the time to tune my ears in and stop and say, Lord, what do you want to say to me? And I feel like he's got a lot better things to say than I do. And I feel like I need to hear from him. And sometimes we have good motives, but sometimes we need to be quiet. We need to be still and know that he is God. You don't have to do all the talking. Probably Peter was saying, what can I do? And you know what? You don't always have to do something. You can just enjoy the presence of Christ and let him speak to you. Just watch. Just listen. Just enjoy. And Peter here is talking and all that, but sometimes we need to listen. How do you expect to make a connection with God when you're constantly, how about this, when you're constantly putting him on a time crunch? God, I've got 15 minutes for you today. That's my prayer time. So if you're going to speak up, speak now or forever hold your peace. God, I'm in my Bible. I'm going to read 3 chapters today and that's it. No more, maybe less, if time permits. But can you hurry up and speak to me in those 3 minutes, in those 3 chapters? Your 15 minutes are up, God. I'll check that off my list and come back tomorrow. And, you know, that's not the way. That's not the way. I want to encourage you in your Bible time tomorrow. I want to encourage you to take a moment. You read a passage of Scripture and listen. Now, if you start hearing voices,
Joshua.
You know, that's Brother Cole talking to you, okay? That's not God, all right? But that was my best Brother Cole impression. It wasn't a good one, all right? But you hear literal voices, hey, come talk to me, okay? But I'm saying, look, and just listen. And don't breeze past it. And allow the Lord an opportunity to talk to you. He's not in a rush. He's not in a hurry. He's going to go with you wherever you are. But take time to stop and listen and realize you don't have to do all the talking. Now, pour out your heart to God, absolutely. But there is a time to stop and just say, okay, I've been talking a lot, Lord. What do you have to say to me? What does this passage mean? Speak to me. Number four, I want to remind us in verses 5 and 6 here. I want to remind us as this as well, that there is a holiness and a sacredness in his presence. There is a holiness and a sacredness in his presence. I love that Peter's speaking and this cloud. It says in Luke there that they entered into a cloud. So this bright cloud is all around them. They're on top of this mountain. You know, it's scary, probably. And then they hear the voice of God. They hear God's literal voice out of the cloud. This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him. And look what they did in verse 6. When the disciples heard it, they fell on their face and were so afraid. They fell down. Isaiah fell down. Everybody in the Bible falls down. And I just love it. It's almost like, listen, Peter. They're surrounded on this mountain. Jesus is shining. Old Testament prophets are showing up. Peter's talking. And God the Father is speaking. And then, man, they're just falling down. They're quickly reminded of the sacredness of this situation. The sacredness of it. Remember when Moses stood before the burning bush? What did God tell him? He said, take off your shoes, because the place where thou standest is holy ground. Holy ground. They're witnessing Jesus in all his glory, and they did the only thing they could. They fell down on their faces before his holiness and the sacredness of that moment. Now, one of these men, I want to show you one last passage here, then I have just a couple more things I'm going to say, and I want you to go to Revelation chapter 1. One of these men would see Jesus again on earth in a glorified state. Peter, James, and John. One of them saw Jesus then in his glory, but he saw him again too. John. Look at Revelation chapter 1. So John would see Jesus again. So what did John see when he saw Jesus again? What did John do when he saw Jesus again? As he's on the Isle of Patmos, exiled, he saw Jesus glorified on the Mount of Transfiguration, and then at the end of his life, here he is 60 years later, seeing him again. Look at Revelation 1:13, verse 12. And I turned to see the voice that spake with me, and being turned, I saw seven golden candlesticks. And in the midst of the seven candlesticks, one like unto the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the foot, and girt about the paps with a golden girdle. His head and his hairs were white like wool, as white as snow. And his eyes were as a flame of fire, and his feet like unto fine brass, as if they burned in a furnace, and his voice as the sound of many waters. And he had in his right hand seven stars, and out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword, and his countenance was as the sun shineth in his strength. And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. And he laid his right hand upon me, saying to me, fear not, for I am the first and the last. So John got to see the vision again. He got to see Christ, and just an amazing thing to me is the sacredness of it. What I hate so much about modern Christianity is the removal of the holiness and sacredness of Jesus. I hate it because we're talking about the Holy One of Israel, and we treat God so casually. We treat him, we call him things like the man upstairs, the big man, all these different things. And in our worship services and other churches, and I'm not saying we're perfect. Goodness, we're trying to grow, we're trying to get better, but we have removed so much of the sacred holiness of the presence and person of Jesus Christ and of God. And it's wrong. Look, you're not supposed to treat Jesus casually. You're not supposed to try to bring him down to your level. You're not supposed to incorporate worldliness or sensuality into your worship. He's a holy God. He's a holy God. He's the one with angels around him at all times saying, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, which art and was and is to come. There's a holiness to God and a sacredness to God. And as we come into his presence, I would just say, hey, come humbly. Be in his presence humbly. Yes, he's your Father. And yes, Jesus is your Savior. And he's your brother. And you're joint heirs with Christ. And you have an intimate relationship. But that doesn't mean that you treat it casually. It doesn't mean that you treat Jesus as if he was just a celebrity. Or just a friend you're, you know, go on walks with, or you talk to on the, he is God. He is God of heaven and earth. That's who Jesus is. So let's make sure we worship him right. Let's make sure we're not incorporating worldliness and sensuality into our worship of him. You worship him as he wants you to, not as you want to. Well, I think we all just worship God. You know, you're worshiping your God. You worship in the God of the Bible, then he's very specific how he wants his worship. They that worship me must worship me in spirit and in truth. If the Holy Spirit's not in it, if it's not in line with the truth of the Word of God, you're not worshiping God. You're worshiping your God, little g. So there's a lot to that, but let's not treat him casually this week. Let's treat him as holy. If we see God for holy, we'll stop walking all over his commandments. When we see God as holy, we'll do what he asks us to do. We'll avoid sin, realizing that he's holy and he deserves it. He deserves our worship and praise. And when we're in his presence, it is a holy thing. Look at some of the Old Testament passages of what God didn't even allow people to do. He told men, he told the men that to have shorts down to their knees, below their garments, because as they ascended the altar, he did not want their nakedness uncovered, which the Bible equates nakedness with the thigh and above, if you read Isaiah and other passages. And he was like, I don't even want that. What was he saying? He was trying to get across that he's holy. He's holy. Oh, we're not under the Old Testament, we're under the New. Yes, but he's still the same God. Let's remember his holiness this week. As you approach him, bow before God and his holiness. I want to give you another thought here in Matthew chapter number 17. I'll try to hurry up here at the end, but just two last thoughts. I want you to see in verse 7, there's a closeness in his presence. There's a closeness. There's an intimacy. There is a closeness in his presence that you cannot find anywhere else. That it's a privilege that we can draw close to him. Hey, we sing the song, draw me nearer. Nearer, blessed Lord, to the cross where thou hast died. Draw me nearer, 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 blessed Lord, to thy precious bleeding side. Look what it says in verse 7. They're in Christ's presence, and so what happened? And Jesus came and touched them. And touched them. That's because they're in his presence. Christ can touch you when you're in his presence. He can reach out and touch you. He can work on you. He can comfort you. He can strengthen you in his presence. We went to college days with the teenagers. Actually, last Sunday at this time, we were on the road trying to make it up there. And I hate being away from my family. I really do. And I counted the cost and thought it was, you know, I should be there with their teens and thought it was good for them to see the college and all of that. I don't regret it, but I don't like being away from my family. I can't hug my kids, you know, when I'm away. I can't tell them goodnight, give them a kiss on the cheek or whatever. I can't kiss my wife. You know, I miss that. And teenagers smell funny. They do. They smell funny. And those girls played some volleyball, then got back in my van. And man, I tell you, there was some. No, I'm just kidding. But it was great. We had a wonderful time and all that. But I tell you, I missed being around my family. I missed being in their presence because there's just something about touch. There's just something about a hand on a shoulder. There's something different about an arm around the shoulder, about a hug. And I tell you, being in God's presence, I want God's touch on my life. I want God's touch in my life. I love the verses where it said in Revelation that John fell at his feet as dead, and Jesus placed his right hand upon him. Whew, I want that. I want to feel God's arm around my shoulder when the going gets tough. I want to see God's outstretched arm and outstretched hand as I've fallen, helping me get back up. You know where I get that? I get that in the presence of God. In the presence of God. But also in verse 7, not only did Christ touch him when he's in his presence, but he speaks to him when he's in his presence. Jesus came and touched him and said, he's speaking, arise and be not afraid. Christ can speak to you in his presence. Notice what he said there. He said, be not afraid. Wouldn't you want to hear Jesus say that to you? Don't be afraid. Hey, I see what you're going through. And you get that in the presence of God. Why? Because you get to have a closeness with him that you don't have anywhere else. You can be closer with Jesus than anyone on this earth. The last thing I want to just share with you today about the presence of Jesus and being in the presence of Christ in this passage is just this. I'd encourage you to enjoy his presence. Enjoy his presence. There's a sacredness. There's a holiness there. It's a privilege and an honor. You don't have to do the talking all the time. You can just listen. But remember, it's a holy thing. There's a closeness you can have there. And you need to get apart. You need to be alone with him. You need that in your Christian life. And I want to encourage you, just when you get there, just enjoy it. Verse 8 says, and when they had lifted up their eyes, they saw no man save Jesus only. And as they came down from the mountain, they had to come back down. They had to leave the mountain. And I would just tell you that sweet moments in the presence of Christ are often interrupted and pass quickly. Those sweet moments where you're having in the presence of Christ, they're interrupted. And sometimes they pass quickly. And I would encourage you to enjoy them. Enjoy them and go about your day, but get back to that presence as soon as you can and as often as you can. You know, we look at this passage and we see that here's the disciples on top of the mountain, and now they have to go back down, and we think to ourselves, you know, oh, they have to get back to real life now. No. They have to get back to work, but they left the real life on the mountain. The real life, the real most fulfilling life you can have is when you're with Christ. That's the most fulfilling you can feel. That's the best life you can live is living in the presence of Christ. And what I love about it is that for them, Jesus' presence left the mountain with them and went with them. Now look, Jesus wasn't always going to be with them physically. And what's better for us is that we have the Holy Spirit with us all the time. And we can experience the presence of Christ on the freeway. It's hard to do. On the freeway, in our car singing a song, in our prayer time at lunch, we have this privilege. What I love about this, and I think Peter was kind of intimating there, let me build these three tabernacles. Maybe he just wanted to stay. Maybe he just wanted to stay and say, hey, let's build some tents here. Don't go anywhere. Let me just enjoy this. Because the thing is, when you really get in the presence of Christ, and those of you that know, you don't want to leave. And you're praying, and you're in the Bible, and God's speaking to you, and you're seeing God and how glorious and wonderful Christ is, you're thinking, do I have to go? Do I have to go? But he bids me go with a voice of woe. And the guard, we sing that song. And what's that talking about? Those that know. Those that understand that when you're walking sweetly with Christ, sometimes it's like, I don't want to go, but I have to. But guess what? I'll be back tomorrow. I'll be back at lunch. I'll be back throughout my day. I close with this verse, Psalm 16:11. David said, thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. In thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand, there are pleasures forevermore. I wonder, are you enjoying your time with Christ? Or is it, and all of us get this way, where it becomes a duty that I have to do, or sometimes you just skip. But let's not do that. Let's revamp it. Remember whose presence we're in. When you talk to Christ tomorrow, will it be a face-to-face meeting? Will he be there? Are you listening? Or are you doing all the talking? You'll never feel as close as you could if you're listening to Christ and you're in his presence. So I'd encourage you, run to his presence. Let him speak to you. Let him change you. Don't take it lightly. Here's the thing. He was transfigured and changed before them, but I guarantee you, when you get in Christ's presence, you leave changed. That's who gets changed. You get transformed into his image when you change. So go before him in humility and with thankfulness this week and enjoy the presence of Christ. It is such a privilege. Father, we thank you. What a privilege it is to be able to come before the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. What a privilege it is to talk to my